today as we come to the table.
Just like Samson. Samson didn't realize till his eyes were gouged out and he was in prison. You know what? I've been foolish. I need God. God, if you will, one more time, show me that your power's with me, God. I need to turn to you. And God gave him victory. Listen, again, this whole thing, it's interesting. When they captured Samson and took him captive, do you know where they took him and put him in prison? In Gaza. I believe God is sending a message to the nation of Israel. It is me. I'm the one that has made you strong. I'm the one that has made you powerful. And I showed you that without me, you'll be defeated. I've allowed you to think it's you. I've protected you without you knowing it, but the time has come.
Where does your strength come from? For some of us, we can forget that God is our true strength. We maybe have some success in life and we think it's because we're smart or powerful. It's so easy to get distracted by our own talents like Samson did, and it was his downfall. Don't let it be yours. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will teach you how the nation of Israel may be realizing that they need God. Don't let yourself get deceived and think your achievements are because of your own talent, just like Samson and Israel did. Fall on your knees in humility and acknowledge that everything you have comes from God. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, as he begins his message, Why Christians Should Stand with Israel.
Guys, truly, we are living in amazing days. We are living in the days of Scripture. And it's interesting, when Jesus walked the earth, I've often thought, well, what would it be like to live in the days when Jesus walked the earth? And I still look forward to seeing that. I hope that from eternity's perspective, we'll see all that. I think we will. But either way, we are living in the days of the Bible as much, if not more, than when Jesus walked the earth. When Jesus walked the earth, there was one major prophecy being fulfilled, Jesus walking the earth, which is the best one. But now we're watching multiple prophecies all taking place at one time across the globe. And so these are exciting days, and we've been allowed to be in this generation, so we should be very thankful. If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Ezekiel chapter 38. And while you guys are finding your way there, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for a day, once again, just to get together, get into your word, and Lord, to take a detour looking at our normal study and to look at what's going on in the Middle East. And God, to gain an understanding of what's happening here in the latter days in which we're living. Father, we do pray for the nation of Israel. We pray your continued protection. We pray, God, for those hostages, that you would protect them and bring them home safely. And we pray, God, that you would again do no more than is necessary to bring the nation to their knees to cry out to you that they may be saved. We know you're going to do that in the last days. We pray you would not only stir them in their hearts, but us in America and around the world, God, as you send out that clarion call before you come back to rule and reign, giving everyone an opportunity to come into the kingdom of God. So, Lord, bless our time and speak to us today as we look at what's going on prophetically in the Middle East. And we thank you, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you guys know, the ground war has begun. Israel went in and their ground incursions that has begun. They've now taken some areas, I think, where they're holding kind of a beachhead. From there, they're going to be moving. It's going to be a long campaign, a very methodical campaign. It's going to take time to work through. But again, I do believe they're going to be successful. I do believe that God is going to help them to root out those that need to be rooted out and to reestablish safety there for the nation of Israel. We need to be praying for that, obviously. But it's something else I want you to recognize, and that is the Bible says in the last days, God is going to prepare the hearts of the nation to receive their Messiah. I believe that has begun. For 2,000 years, they've been out of the land. They came back in the land in 1948, and they've had no interest whatsoever really in the Messiah other than they're waiting on their Messiah, some of them, but not in the true Messiah, Jesus Christ. And God said at the last days, he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to begin to turn them back to me where they're going to cry out once again to the Lord, and they're going to receive me as their Lord and Savior. Now think about it. Their heart has been hardened for a long time. God's going to have to begin to break them down. I believe that breaking down has begun. And I believe that was with what happened on October 7th. Again, I'm not saying God did it. I want to be clear on that. God didn't do anything. I'm saying God uses everything. And the enemy's the one that does these things. God will allow certain things to take place because God has a process behind it and a purpose behind it. And I think it's the process is the beginning of the breaking of the nation of Israel. You see, Israel has always believed there's a God. The God of Israel, they even have used it politically. Hey, we have a God of Israel. We deserve to be in the land. They've used it that way. But they've never had that relationship with God that God wants them to have to be restored. And the Bible says that will happen in the last days. It reminds me of Samson. Again, it's interesting. They're talking about the Samson doctrine in Israel right now. The Samson doctrine is not going to happen. But the Samson doctrine is if we get backed in a corner and we are about to be wiped out and tortured like we were in World War II, we will use nuclear weapons on our enemies, even right around us if we have to, which means we may die as well, but we would rather die defending ourselves than to be put into the ovens and gassed to death and brutalized like they were on October 7th and all that. So if you're the Samson doctrine, that's what that's talking about. That's not going to happen. The Bible's clear. They will not do the Samson doctrine. However, I do believe that God is dealing with them the same way he dealt with Samson. Very interesting to me, the parallels in what's happening right now. If you look at Samson's life, Samson was someone who was dedicated to the Lord as a child and lived religiously for God, but never really followed or served him. Never really had a heart for God. He was a very ungodly man. And yet he had taken a Nazirite vow that his parents had given him when he was a child. And God gave a promise to the parents, as long as he doesn't cut his hair, even if he's not faithful, I will be with him. Kind of an odd thing. God does things for the reason he does them. We don't know why, but that was the promise God made to Samson. And Samson lived like the world, but God's power was with him. And of course, we saw that Samson, again, just defeating all the enemies of Israel, just amazing. At one time, he defeated 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. Again, supernatural things. He killed a lion with his bare hands, right? And so how does that happen? It was God. But the problem is Samson did not recognize that it was God. Samson thought it was him. It's because I have this strength. I have this power. I'm so great. And because of that, he put confidence in himself rather than the Lord. The Bible says again, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Samson didn't realize that. And so God allowed Samson to come to a place where, remember, Delilah talked him into cutting his hair off. He gave the secret to his strength. That is his promise, his commitment to God. He lost his strength. And she said, once again, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he'd been breaking all the ropes and doing all that. Nothing could hold him. This time he got up and it says to go out as before, but he didn't know that the Lord had left him. And he went out as before and he was captured by the Philistines. They gouged out his eyes. They took him prisoner, put him in prison there among the Philistines. And then again, you know the story. He was there and he cried out to God when he saw that it wasn't me. I thought it was me. It wasn't me, God, it was you. And his hair began to grow. And it was symbolic of the fact that finally he realized it wasn't him. It was God doing it. And God gave him that one final victory. Well, look at the nation of Israel. God brought them back into the land in 1948 after 2,000 years. And by the way, for those who say that God is through with the nation of Israel, that argument should have ended in 1948. It's amazing to me that anybody still holds that position with after 1948 because the supernatural hand of God has been overwhelming. The history is David Ben-Gurion stood up, declared themselves a nation. 5 Muslim countries attacked them from all sides. Israel was a fledgling, just brand new nation. They defeated all of these established armies, established nations, defeated them, and even took more land in that incursion where they tried to kill them. It was a supernatural work of God. It was like Samson getting up and defeating the Philistines. And they recognized it. They said, you know what? This is God. God is working in our nation. Well, time went by. And once again, 1967, another major war. I think this is their 9th time they declared war, but I'm only mentioning some of the major wars. In 67, once again, it looked like they were doomed. The enemy's coming against them. God gave them a major victory. And after that war, they're starting to think, you know what? We're pretty awesome. We have a powerful military. We can't be defeated. We're doing this whatever. And so it went from being God's strength and God's promise to look how we're doing. 1973, again, the same thing. An amazing victory in the Yom Kippur War that they almost were taken over as a nation. Again, they would have been taken over had God not intervened, I believe. If you know the history of that, God intervened. Once again, they're saying, look how awesome we are. Look how we defeated the enemy. We did this or whatever the case might be. And so they're thinking that they're the ones. It's by their might, by their power. They're Samson getting up and going out and really don't even need God, right? And all of a sudden, October 7th comes. It's the first time anything like this has happened in modern history to Israel since they've been a nation where they were breached as a country and things were done to them that were even worse than the Holocaust as far as the brutality and the torture that took place. That happened and God allowed it to happen. Again, I'm not saying God did it. I'm saying God is the one that allowed that to happen. We have to trust God's purposes in this, but I'll tell you what happened. The nation woke up. There's something happening among the Jews right now. You remember how we felt after 9/11? The nation felt different. It didn't feel as safe. We didn't feel as confident. There's something happened to America. Yes, we went and pride, you know, and go to war and all that, but something changed in America. That has happened times 10 in Jerusalem. The feel of the nation from those that are inside Jerusalem, what they're saying is the whole nation, the feel of it, people are open to talk about the Messiah. They're open to talk about Ezekiel 38 and 39. These are unbelieving Jews. For those that are Christians, there are some from Calvary Chapel that are there taking food up to the front lines, if you will. They're saying, are you evangelicals? Yes, we are. Well, tell us about what you believe and all. They're being able to share the gospel with them. They actually had a time they were doing worship up there after delivering some food. I believe they were up there at the border. They may have been back. I don't know where they were. I don't know. But some of the soldiers that were there came and just stood and listened to them and kind of started humming along with it just for the comfort. They're open. God is breaking their hearts. God is preparing them and getting them ready. And just like Samson didn't realize till his eyes were gouged out and he was in prison. You know what? I've been foolish. I need God. God, if you will, one more time, show me that your power is with me, God. I need to turn to you. And God gave him victory. Listen, again, this whole thing, it's interesting. When they captured Samson and took him captive, do you know where they took him and put him in prison? In Gaza. I believe God is sending a message to the nation of Israel. It is me. I'm the one that has made you strong. I'm the one that has made you powerful. And I showed you that without me, you'll be defeated. I've allowed you to think it's you. I've protected you without you knowing it, but the time has come. It's time to wake up spiritually. I'm going to begin to prepare your hearts. I'm going to begin to break you as a nation. I'm going to begin to draw you to myself, and you're going to turn to me as a nation and realize that I am the Lord. Now, again, this is exciting to see what's happening because I wanted you guys to see something. When the war started, the ground incursion, there's a video. It's a tank with the commanders on the tank. They're getting the armies ready to go in their ground incursion. What were they saying? Guys, this was so amazing. First, before I tell you what they were saying, I want you to hear what Jesus said in Matthew 23, verses 37 through 39. After Jesus had ridden into Jerusalem, and they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know, save now, chanting a psalm. Jesus said this, after they rejected him, because he comes in, the nation is rejecting him. And he knows they're going to reject him. He knows that they're going to be desolate. That is that Rome's going to come in 70 AD and wipe them out. He knows in the last days he'll be bringing them back in the land. And we're going to see present and a prophecy about bringing them back in the land and what it's going to be like when he brings them back in the land before they recognize him. And he says this in Matthew 23, 37 through 39. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. That is, I tried to bring you to myself, but you rejected me as your Messiah. See, your house is left to you desolate. That is, you're going to be wiped out by Rome, 70 AD. And now the future, he says, for I say to you, you shall see me no more. That is, you will not see me as your Messiah again, is what he's saying in the context. You will see me in this way no more because you rejected me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What these men were chanting was the Messianic Psalm, where this came from, Psalm 118, there's two verses, verse 25 and verse 26. They were chanting verse 25. And verse 25 says this, save now, I pray, O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. It's what it translated in the New Testament, and they added to it when Jesus was riding in, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, save now. Hosanna, Hosanna, save now. That's verse 25. Verse 26, they left out. They just did the Hosanna, save now. Lord, save now. A Messianic Psalm. This is a specific verse. They know that's a Messianic Psalm. They know their Bibles. But here's the thing. They didn't read the rest of it, which speaks about their Messiah. Guys, here's the thing. They're halfway there. They're halfway there. All they need is one verse for Jesus to come back. And that one verse, I believe, is going to continue to build up and build up as the pressure. They have enough pressure now to say, save us. We need to be saved. They don't yet have enough pressure to say, we need Jesus to save us as our Messiah. And even as he wrote in the first time, he says, when they do that, when you proclaim me, I'll ride in again and I will rescue you and I'll be your Messiah. Guys, we're getting so close. We're getting so close. I don't know the timing. Nobody knows the timing. Only the Lord does. But the reality is we're getting close. Now, again, before we jump into this, this is the upcoming battle. In Ezekiel 38 and 39, remember what we covered in 36 was 1948. That's when the Jews came back in the land in 1948. And by the way, I've had some questions. Hey, is this the fulfillment of Psalm 83? It is not, and I'll tell you why. Psalm 83 was fulfilled in 1948. This is now Ezekiel 38 and 39. How do we know Psalm 83 was fulfilled in 1948? Because if you go back and read Psalm 83 and read all the armies that came against Israel in 1948, it's all them. They all came together. That's the armies. Today, the armies that are listed in Psalm 83, they're not all together. Some of them overlap, but you've got some like Jordan and Egypt that are not a part of it. You go back and read Psalm 83, and it talks about the armies that attacked them from all sides. Totally different battle. That's been fulfilled. Now we're looking at Ezekiel 38 and 39. So we saw them back in the land in 1948. And then after now they're back in the land, we come to this next battle that's going to take place in Jewish history. And that is Ezekiel 38 and 39. And let me also make it clear, we don't have time to show all the differences, okay? But this is not Armageddon. There's two different battles here. And if you line out and if you want to do homework and really kind of see this for yourself, put down all the details about Ezekiel 38 and 39, then go to Armageddon and put down all the details. They are very different battles. As a matter of fact, it appears that China's going to be involved in Armageddon, but China's not involved in Ezekiel 38 and 39. So it's a totally different setup, totally different battle. This one will happen first. 7 years will take place where God fulfills his promise to the nation of Israel, and then there'll be the Battle of Armageddon that'll take place where there's going to be a much larger scale battle that takes place in the world. So with that said, let's jump into this and look where we are. Look at chapter 38, verse 1. This is the coming battle. And let me say one more thing before I jump in. I do not believe that they're ready for this battle to happen right now. Now, could it turn into this battle? Yes. All the players are in place. So you're going to see an amazing, like, we're ready. But the reason being, I don't think it's going to turn into this battle right now, at least the way it currently is that when this battle takes place, Israel's on their own. Nobody's going to be helping them. Right now, we've got two major aircraft carriers and all the stuff that come with it, the submarines and everything else, out in the Mediterranean with other warships that are there and other military. When this battle takes place, Israel's going to be on their own, which means either America will have left or America will be neutralized or whatever. So, but could it turn into this? Could America leave and it turn into this? Yes. Could America be neutralized and it turn into this? Yes. How could America be neutralized? Guys, look. America, it kind of concerns me that we have two of our major aircraft carrier units. And by the way, it's not just what you see above the water, it's what's under the water. One of those aircraft carrier units is larger than some nations' militaries. We've got two of them sitting out there pretty close to each other. Now, if you wanted to take them out, now's the time to do it while they're side by side. Kind of like Pearl Harbor. And they said, Mark, how in the world can that? You could never take out these great carriers. Really? I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm just saying America's not going to be involved somehow, and so either we turn and we leave and something else happens to neutralize us. But this is interesting to me because for years, maybe you've seen on the news the Iranian boats that circle our boats and they kind of taunt them and give them a hard time. It's like, what are you doing? You're like little ants down there, you know, in this our big military thing and these little ants driving around. Guys, there's been a desensitization to the Iranian ships driving around our ships. You don't even pay attention to them. They're out there. They're taunting them. Even in this battle, they've been taunting as well as far as that goes. I don't know about the aircraft carriers, but taunting in different areas. There are those who say that Iran already has a nuclear weapon. They just don't have a missile to deliver it. What Iran is trying to get is the delivery system. They just can't get a nuclear weapon somewhere, and some believe they already have a nuclear weapon. If they indeed have a couple of nuclear weapons, all they have to do is put it on one of those little tiny boats that they taunt our ships with. Nobody would ever suspect anything. They just start driving around our big carriers, and they're just going, what are you jokers doing? They detonate those things, and we lose two carrier groups like that. It could happen that quick and that easy. And suddenly America is with our jaws dropped and our defenses down and our military crippled. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying this could turn around faster than anybody recognizes or realizes. And so we need to be aware that this very could still could kick into gear and be the battle that we're going to see where the Lord intervenes and wipes them out. Either way, we know we're getting close, and we're going to see when we get into 38, everything is in place for this to take place. Only God knows the timing. Chapter 38, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Again, who is this Gog? There are some scholars that believe it's simply a title, like president or mayor or governor, and he just is the leader, whoever the leader is of this movement. Magog we know is Russia. We can now nail down that region to on the other side of the Caucasus Mountains to be Russia. Again, don't be confused by the ancient names and the regions. I will let you know what regions they are today, and we'll see the modern day nations where they are. But some believe it's just a title. The problem is that we see this Gog show up again at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. The Bible says during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, Satan will be locked up for 1,000 years. Then Satan will be released for one last battle at the end of the 1,000 years, which is at least 1,000 years from now at this point. And once again, it's Gog leading that battle. Could it be that this is a spiritual entity? Could it be that Gog is the name of a demon? Could it be that another name for Satan is Gog? We don't know. Could just be a title. Could actually be a demonic entity that will rise again at the end of the 1,000 years. Either way, he's the one behind all this. And notice, again, we saw the spiritual entities that were behind all these nations in Daniel chapter 10. For those of you that went through Daniel with us, these regional demons of these fallen angels, it may be one of those. But I'm going to give you the modern day language of what these regions are. He says, Gog, I will set my face against Gog, the land of Magog, the prince of Russia, Moscow, and Tobolsk. Those are the modern areas for these words. Rosh is Russia, Meshech is Moscow, and Tubal is Tobolsk there in Russia. So we see Russia now, forces being gathered to move against Israel. By the way, Russia is getting really rabid against the Jews. The whole world's getting rabid against the Jews, aren't they? The Bible says in the last days, guys, the whole world's going to turn on Israel again, even America. I believe it's probably going to be full throttle for us after the rapture. The Bible says the whole world's going to turn. I have never seen, again, you look at what's happening right now, and throughout history, there's always been a nation that can rescue, right? In World War II, who was the nation that could rescue? America. Guys, now we see in the streets of America, people marching for Hamas. Okay, so what you're seeing is, you're seeing now for the first time in recent world history, there's not a savior nation. Russia, over 60% of their economy is oil and natural gas. And some of the largest natural gas supplies and oil in the world have now been found in Israel. The Golan Heights, they found one of the largest oil reserves in the world on the Golan Heights. They found one of the largest, if not the largest, natural gas supplies in the Mediterranean. Israel's already negotiating with Europe to supply them oil and natural gas. Guess who's supplying Europe right now with their oil and natural gas? It's Russia. And what Russia realizes is Israel's about to cut us off. And that could be another hook in the jaw that pulls them down and say, no, we're going to come take the reward. We're going to get the natural gas. We're going to get the oil. Look, you give us the oil and the natural gas, and you radical Muslims, you can kill the Jews. You can do that. You have them. You can have the land. Do whatever you want. We just want the oil and the natural gas, and they're going to work together as a team. And I think that's what we're seeing here fall into place. He says, notice this. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, your horses, your horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. And notice who's with them. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them. With shield and helmet, Gomer and all its troops, the house of Dagarma from the far north and all their troops, many are with you. Now, again, we need some modern translation. Persia is modern-day Iran. Ethiopia, the word literally is the word Kush. I don't think it's necessarily Ethiopia. I think it's going to be Sudan. It's speaking of a region. Ethiopia right now is not an enemy of Israel. Sudan is. And so I think it's going to be, here you're going to see Iran, Sudan, Libya, still today. And by the way, we already know that Iran is very involved. They're the ones funding Hezbollah and the Hamas. We talked about that. They're the ones threatening Israel right now, coming in battle to this giant earthquake they're going to bring, they say, when they come in or whatever. Libya is now involved. There's already been some strikes in Libya by Israeli military because of probably weapons transfers. We don't know exactly the reason. Be watching for Sudan. When you watch your news, they've not gotten actively involved yet, but they're going to be another major player. They're the only one out of the five that is not actively, truly, just openly involved right now. The other one is Togarma, which is Turkey. Gomer and Togarma, that's Turkey. I don't know if you saw the news, the major, major national rally for Hamas and against Israel in Turkey yesterday, and the numbers were astounding. You should have seen how many people. Again, I see what's happening over there, what's happening in our streets, what's happening over in London. They had over 100,000 people blocking off London Bridge. It looks so full of people. I thought, man, that thing, can talk about London Bridge falling down. That could be a time that it could fall, right?
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is teaching a short series titled, Why Christians Should Stand with Israel. As you know from current events, Israel is facing yet another assault from enemy countries. This seems to be a pattern in history, unfortunately. Israel has been and continues to be God's chosen nation and people. And it's no surprise that the enemy wants to attack from any direction. We hope that what you've heard today in Pastor Mark's message has sparked interest, concern, and would prompt you to pray for the nation of Israel. Thanks for tuning in today. We'd like to invite you to come visit us in person. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to come to Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. Our services are Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30, and 11:15 a.m., and a midweek service every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Bring the whole family. Every time we gather, it's an opportunity to grow in learning and experiencing God more fully. If you're interested and would like more info, click on the church link at the bottom of the page at thewaymedia.net. You can also use the questions and comments link to get more info. If you'd like to listen to any of these teachings again, just click on the Come to the Table link online or connect with the Way Media app. For any questions or concerns, you can reach us at 865-609-1385. That number again is 865-609-1385. That's all we have for today. But thanks for listening to Come to the Table.
Come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.